Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is still in the miracle-working business, beloved. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I've been sharing this week, The Glory Restored. And we've been looking at a broad overview of God's plan and purposes for mankind. He created man in the beginning for fellowship, and that his desire, his purpose, his will has never changed. He is going to have exactly what he desired in the ages of eternity when God's people, those who willingly choose to accept salvation through Jesus Christ, that we will be with him throughout the endless ages of eternity in realms of glory and peace and joy and love that we can't even fathom with our natural minds at this point. But we have been sharing how God has ministered through and to his people, and that yesterday we established that man has a hunger for the supernatural, and unless you are open and hear the gospel, open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that the unsaved, natural, unregenerate man looks for supernatural knowledge and power through the realm of the occult. And that is something that is forbidden. God's people are not to go there. Ancient Israel learned their lesson. They were absolutely prohibited from consulting with mediums or those who had contact with the dead. And is there a way, is information can be gained? Of course, but it's not reliable. It is not what God wants for us. It is deceptive. It comes from the enemy, and the enemy only seeks to kill and destroy. He wants, his modus operandi has never changed, to just deceive and to get a person caught up. Well, you know, Uncle Jim, it sounded just like him. That was, no, they've been around a long time, demonic spirits, and they know exactly, they're very familiar with the ways and the the experiences of man. And so they cannot be trusted. God, simply the fact that God says, don't do it. When God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, he knew what he was talking about, because we've been paying for that ever since. Thank God he sent Jesus to redeem those who had ears to hear and a heart to receive the salvation and deliverance that is given through the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for our behalf. So, moving on, we've been looking at, we're taking our time, just looking at man's response to God, God's dealing with man. But with the what we call the new covenant, when Jesus came, he ministered to his disciples. But you know what? After he suffered and died, he appeared to them before he ascended to heaven. And they were very thrilled and excited to see him. And they, of course, they didn't want him to go, but he said, I'm going to go. I'm going to my Father, and I'll be seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm eager and willing and wanting to hear your prayers and those of all of my children in the ages to come. However, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send someone just like me. And he said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Don't go out. Don't go preaching the gospel. You go there until you be endued with power from on high. That's recorded. Jesus' word in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 29. He said you would receive power from on high. And the book of Acts opens. It's not really is the Acts of the Apostles through the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit, and, well, he couldn't help himself. He had to give some physical demonstrations. I mean, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and there were cloven tongues of fire, as it were, that appeared on the heads of everyone that had gathered, the 120 in the upper room. And God is still doing that today. Not that he's going to show signs of, you know, of a rushing mighty wind. He's not necessarily going to have a flame of fire up here, but you know, and I noticed when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit years ago, I mean, I was just barely saved, few weeks saved. I never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I knew, I thought, if that's what God has for us, I definitely want it. So they prayed for me, and I remember I could feel, not just at that moment, it was after, because I'm rather a shy and introverted person, I felt it was like the crown of my head was on fire. And God doesn't, as we grow with the Lord, we don't have to have physical symptoms, but it really is. He's the Holy Ghost and fire. And he will bring power, and he'll bring the fire of God to cleanse us, to burn up everything that is not like Jesus. He does a cleansing work. And that is something that God has for every one of his children that we can receive. He said, you know, I'm going to give you power to do the things that I commanded you to do, to preach the Great Commission with signs and wonders following. But you need the power of the third person of the Trinity, the blessed Holy Ghost. And they did that, and Peter preached his first sermon, and they wondered, you know, these were ignorant fishermen, and how did they get this anointing, this power, this they spoke with those that had, as if they had authority, and that they did. It was divine authority from the throne of God. And Paul, when he came, he said he came not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Remember, this was a Greek-Roman culture. They were very influenced by the wisdom of the Greek and by philosophy and all the things of the natural man that, you know, the borders of the knowledge and the understanding that had been gained through the Greeks, through the Romans. But he came, it says, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Not his power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do we experience this today? Well, the holy baptism of the Holy Spirit has never been rescinded. It is important for every believer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And with that, there's an evidence, as Paul, because Paul, that's what Paul noticed when he was with the Ephesians, 19th chapter. They spoke with tongues, just as the early Jewish believers did. So it was an obvious sign and demonstration that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. That was their personal prayer language, that they could magnify God and speak to the Lord directly. So is it foolish to the mind and eyes of man? Perhaps, but not to God. And God confounds the wisdom of this world with his foolishness. So those that love God are very eager to partake of the foolishness of God. Praise the Lord. So how are we representing today the anointing? Because we're talking about the presence of God. And he does that by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, when we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our spirit. We're made a new creature. We're born again. But there is that empowering. Remember, Jesus breathed on the disciples. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I believe that's when they were born again. But he said, "No, there's more to come. Wait in Jerusalem." And he came with powerful demonstration. And Peter preached his first powerful sermon. And they went about with signs and wonders, and many, many were drawn to the power of the gospel, the redemption offered through Jesus, because it wasn't just clever words, it was miracles. People raised from the dead, the lame healed, the blind receiving their sight, because God's a supernatural God. And he said, "The same works that I do, even greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." So today we use, as we have historically, God's people, they used the anointing oil, which is just, well, under the old covenant, it was compacted according to the art of a perfumer. In other words, it was a special composition. But today we just use oil that has been set aside, prayed over, and it represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's just simple oil, then nothing happens to it. It's the same, but it represents something, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming down upon the head, as it says in regarding Aaron. It went down to the skirts of his garments. They were all, the priesthood was all anointed with holy oil, and that represents a spiritual work. It's a special endowment. It's a sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit, and it represents the very presence of God, that God is everywhere. Isn't that true? But also, he wants a temple to dwell in. And he doesn't have a physical temple like he did under the old covenant, that the temple was destroyed. I mean, that was good for that time and season, but he wants a temple, a living tabernacle, not made with hands. He's talking about the physical body of the believer. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Our bodies, according to Scripture, are the temples of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple. And so God's presence lives and moves and has his being, his existence, his influence through the physical lives of believers today. So what shall we say to all of these things? Well, beloved, we as God's people today, we're not seeking after an experience, but we should be hungering after the very presence of God. Why should we do that? Well, first of all, I've been sharing with you, it's God's desire and will for us. But Psalm 16 and 11 says, "Thou wilt shew me the path of life." What's better than that? "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The manifestation, the realization of God's presence is discovered in the Word of God. And tomorrow I'll share with you, how can we experience this? Well, there are a couple ways according to Scripture. So I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. If you're not able, always feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and the broadcasts are archived there for your listening convenience. I do invite you to write and share whatever prayer needs you have. Since 1965, this has been a ministry of prayer and correspondence. I only answer the mail, read the letters, and pray for you and send back whatever God would give, which over the years there's been tremendous testimony how it's been exactly the word that the individual needed to hear. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for your prayers. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.